Johnny.
And harmony.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Not fabulous because it's hosted by Vinnie Eastwood, but fabulous because we have fabulous guests who are really, really nice people, and generally we have a nice, lovely, fun time with, and they're fabulous because they actually do something with their lives! Unlike copious quantities of ridiculous from zero to hero wannabe slaves out there who basically think if they sit around voting for Obama, that change is going to come. When in actual fact, they have to go out in the streets and beg for it in order to get it. My very special guest today is quite famous, although I know nothing about her. Her name is Rebecca Jernigan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And it is a delight to be here. It is a delight to be here.
I can tell that we're going to be having some uber cackle episode right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
More than likely. Lovely opening, though, I have to say. I have to say that was a lovely opening.
Yeah. I don't know how to make an entrance, but I do know how to make an opening. Now.
Very good. I like that. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. A little trick I learned from Arnie in Terminator 2. Now, I wanted to ask you,
Rebecca, one of my best friends.
a little bit of background on yourself. And for the listeners and whatever, and then we'll proceed with some description of conversation. I don't know where it's going to take us, probably to a very dangerous thought crime place indeed.
Could be the Twilight Zone, who knows? Well, for those out there that don't know me, I have been doing a radio show myself, so this is a little different for me being on the other side of the mic for about 10 years. It's called Journeys with Rebecca. I, too, have had some of the most fabulous guests on, Vinny. They have, truly, it's been such a blessing to have met and communicate and converse with and share ideas and thoughts with some of the most interesting, far-reaching, definitely not mainstream people out there that walks all gamuts of the life. And so I have to say I've been truly blessed with that. And with that comes, obviously, you yourself probably experience this as well, Vinny, is just by your guests, it allows you to search too, based on information that they share and listening to, you know, what wisdom or information that they do impart. So it's really fabulous. I started kind of this whole media thing back in the late 80s. I had a television show here locally in the Kansas City area, Heart of America. And I did live television for about 3 years, went on what we called the circuit, where I was a speaker, a presenter, also a reader at different holistic fairs, expos, all across the United States. And I did that for many years. I owned a store as well, ran the gamut of alternative medicine due to my own personal journey into the traditional Western medicine field. And, you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about that because I don't want to get into trouble. But obviously it doesn't work for me. And so I went through many years of education and training and application of different types of techniques and energies and being a clairvoyant and using some of the God-given talents that we all have and just trying to hone skills and just kind of expand. And I took a few years off, and then back in the in 2000, I was prompted again to go back out into the media, this time not through television but through radio. So that's kind of how my radio show came to be. I was one of the very first internet radio talk shows. I went terrestrial. I had satellite podcasts. I still do. On some networks, things like that, such as yourself. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've just been exploring the changes going on as well as everyone is, and just watching how this play of life we call unfolds in front of me, and try to stay in the flow and sync of my own rhythm and life. And it is truly fun to be here with you. You're just a really fun guy. there's a lot to you. And so here we are. I explore pretty much, Vinny, I explore things that are not of mainstream. You know, I when people talk to me, I don't actually hear what they say. I see it. It doesn't show up as an just an audio transmission. It also shows up as a visual transmission. So not only do I hear what people say, I see how they're presenting it, which kind of adds a twist on it. And so that's with me most all of the time. So
it's like an extra, it's like an extra layer in the communications field.
It is.
You know, it's like doing a Skype call with a video instead of just the voice.
Yes, it is. And it's very hard to tell people, you know, I heard what you said, but more than that, I actually saw what you said. Sometimes even the words that people speak will come across as like a movie screen with somebody has teletyped it on there. It's very interesting. And it's never the same with every person. And that's what I also found interesting. And that kind of got me into looking at different things. You know, we're all human beings. Well, most of us are walking on this earth. And those of us who are in that category, shall we say, we all have similar energy signatures. But then when it comes to the individual, we all become very, very different energetically. And that's why when you see people that do voice recognition, everybody's voice has a certain it has a differentiation between one person and the next, much like the DNA. And so that's kind of how it operates for me. I mean, that's just a natural thing. I like to use a word, it's organic. So when I do readings for people or when I'm communicating with people, that energy signature, so to speak, of the voice is really what I'm actually communicating with. So it's kind of been fascinating to learn, you know, about how you operate, how an individual operates. And I'm always on that quest to figure out what makes me tick and what makes me ticked off and, you know, all of those things. So, but it's a pretty interesting field of, you know, just self-study for myself. And I find it fascinating how very different we all are, and yet we're so similar on the same, you know, on the same level. So it's been quite an experience. It's been eye-opening. It's been mind-boggling. And I continue to research it even today, you know, to try to get more in-depth of it and try to get even better honed with that particular aspect of myself, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm out with a mission with my radio show to interview people because I kind of want to, I basically want to attempt something that has never been accomplished before, and for all intents and purposes, I know that I'll fail at it.
Wow, I like that.
I want to try and experience everything as much as I can. In the media sense of the word. And reason behind that is because when I watch mainstream media news, it drives me insane! Oh, God! It just frustrates the heck out of me to watch everybody getting lied to every single day with a million and one lies thrown at them with one grain of a sand of truth on an entire beach of worth of lies. It's unbelievable. And quite frankly, the whole idea of it, I used to watch the news like religiously, like all the time. In fact, there's a bunch of different news channels here in New Zealand, and I'd like flip through them one the other. You know, I want to know everything. I realized soon, very quick on, that none of the people who mainstream media were interviewing had any knowledge to gain. Have you noticed that?
How they
talk in nothing but crap, and then when you go and you talk to somebody who's like a researcher, a patriot, or preferably somebody who's been highly persecuted by the government,
they've all
got the best information.
Yes, they do. And it's true. It is so true. You're absolutely right. I mean, I've had this particular guest on, and he's pretty fascinating. His name is Stuart Swerdlow, and he talks about the media a great deal whenever he's on my show. And what he does is he goes in and he reads, he doesn't necessarily listen to the mainstream news, but he reads the mainstream news because in that he's learned how to discern or how to, I guess how really the term would be to decipher all the junk that's in there and where is the real truth. And you have to understand that most of these quote-unquote journalists, newscasters, or, you know, news anchor people, all of that stuff, they're just reading a teleprompter. Most of the time it's being spoon-fed to them. They don't go out and do the research themselves anymore. It's somebody else giving them the story that they are just actually regurgitating off of something that somebody else has told them, this is what you have to say. And so it, I have to agree with you, and I think that your viewpoint on that is absolutely right on. It is nothing but a constant flow of lies. It's learning how to read what bit of truth there is in there so that people can learn to do their own research and learn how to really figure out what the truth is, because they do tell you the truth. They just skew everything so much that the truth is so far hidden that most people are just buying the surface level stuff that's being presented to them without really going, huh, does that really make sense what they just said? Because 99.9% of what comes out of their mouths on the news is just gobbledygook. Now there's a term for you.
Well, it's a there's a method called the and now this phenomenon. They'll do a story for about maybe, I don't know, 12, 16 seconds or so, too short to have any real decent information or whatever, and then they'll cut to another story. All right. Now then what you do then is you pause it and you ask the person next to you, what was the story they just reported on? Right there. Instant recall. You'll be surprised how few people can actually remember. That's how sophisticated the brainwashing is. And, you know, it appears to me that Patriots, Truthers, or whatever, and call them Truthers, but there's, you know, a myriad of different names. It's kind of like the Illuminati or the New World Order or something. There's no official name, which kind of makes them hard to track down. this is my realization. When a journalist reads the news to you, you're getting brainwashed. But when a truther reads into it, they're basically just analyzing enemy communique. All right? That's essentially what it is. Every single broadcast, whether that be on radio, television, or even major publications such as Time magazine, are simply sophisticated brainwashing propaganda manuals for which to tell people, look, there's plenty of disasters going on. I want you to stay at home, be miserable, get monstrously in debt, and vote for people in the false left-right paradigm. Okay? That's basically what I decipher when I read or hear mainstream media news. I mean, those are the three main points. Be afraid, stay at home, and vote for people who are going to shaft you and take you home.
Yeah, that's right. Right. And you know, David Icke puts it very well, as I think he calls it problem reaction solution. What they do is they create a problem, which is whatever their news story is, and then you wait for the reaction, and then, of course, those who have fed you the story now have the solution. So it's just a vicious cycle, and it's learning how not to step into that or actually to step out of it, because most all of us have been there at some point or another, or we wouldn't be able to see it, right? You have to be able to see it in order to understand what it is. So understanding that all of this stuff that is being presented to us is meant to keep us in that state of mind of suffering, of anxiety, of all of that. This is why all the rest of this stuff comes forward, which is, you know, all the pharmaceuticals, the insurance ads, you name it. It just goes on. And everything is being sold because all the ads on TV are all being sold because they're in direct relation to making you feel good after they bombard you with all of the world's problems in such a negative, fearful way. So if you run out and buy this product, ABC, you're going to feel better because, you know, there's just nothing we can do about all the problems that we have in the world.
You've got a point there, and I was watching Malcolm in the Middle last night. It's kind of like the zany television show, yep. But anyway, one of the premises that was happening is the mother got a new device or whatever that made her life great, and she was happy. She was floating on air, and her husband got jealous because he didn't want his wife's new shoes or whatever to mean that she comes home not in pain anymore, because it gave him a use. You know, when she comes home, he massages her feet, and she goes, oh, how, that's so sweet. But do you remember the last time we got the waffle iron and I was floating on air for 2 weeks? It went away, okay? It doesn't, we'll just have to, I'll be miserable again. Just you wait. And And it was just the perfect example of Bernaysian type advertising is that they'll sell you something and the image will be portrayed that the person taking or using that product is incredibly happy, healthy, fit, and has lots of friends, etc. Take a Coke commercial, for example. And what happens is when you use that product, you instantly get that gratification for being happy on it, but just like, I don't know, smoking crack or whatever, there's a huge come down after it. And you realize, shoot, they manipulated me into wasting my money on a level 6 biotoxin called Coca-Cola.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and the way they manipulate things is just, it's an amazing thing. You know, we had this thing about high fructose corn syrup right here in the States. In our foods, and people started complaining about it, right? Because it really is terribly bad for you. And some of the farmers have actually started, speaking about the corn that they raise for this high fructose corn syrup, that it literally is inedible to the human being. And so, you know, this is the kind of additives that they were putting into the foods. So now the commercials over here in the States is that it's not called high fructose corn syrup anymore. It's called corn sugar. So they've renamed the same product. It doesn't make it any better. But what they're trying to do is to soothe this. And if you read about the truth behind what corn syrup does to the body, you would never, ever put it back in your body ever again. So it's all about trying to placate people so that they don't, you know, if there's a concern or a worry that comes up in the media where they're saying they're looking at something, then they simply just take it back to their marketing department and say, hey, let's make this sound better than what it is, right? I don't know what TV's like over where you're at, but do you get a lot of pharmaceutical ads where you're at?
Not so much pharmaceutical drugs, but we do have drugs in general being advertised on the television, like paracetamol and things of that nature, but not the hardcore, like, are you depressed? Have you got no erections? Well, take this antidepressant, a massive erection thingy, and it's only got the side effects inclusive of masturbating so furiously in the corner that you rip it off.
No, alrighty then.
No, we don't have those kind of ads, unfortunately. otherwise, I'd be far more amused by television.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the ads over here, they don't do quite like those, but...
speaking of ads, here comes some right now on the Vinny Eastwood Show. Our fabulous sponsors. There's a nice little segue there. My very special guest is Rebecca Jernigan, and we'll be right back after the break. Back. Oh yeah, we're here live on the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts, especially if you take the chemotherapy drugs prescribed by doctors who get a commission for doing so, especially considering it has a 95% kill rate and the other 5% that survive only survive for the first 5 years, which then counts as a cure, and then die one day after. Unless, of course, they use something else other than poison to cure themselves from a virus, like cancer. Welcome back to my very special guest, Rebecca Jernigan. And incidentally enough, you've been in the medical field for a while, haven't you?
I was in the medical field for years. So I just want to put this little quip in here. You know, the point behind what you were just saying is our off-air conversation when we were talking about ads. We kind of got into the whole pharmaceutical thing. And, you know, it's just, you know, just amen, brother. It's so sad, but you're absolutely true. You have to have a sense of humor about it. You really do, because if you don't, you'll sit down and cry. You really will. The drugs, the pharmaceutical ads over here, this is what our governing bodies have said, that they now have to put precautions in their television ads. So here's what you have. You have a lady that's depressed, right? And so pay attention to the symbology here. This one was the latest one that I just seen. And it's about an antidepressant drug. And it's in this particular one is an animated. So it's in a cartoon form, right? So here's this lady. She's got a family. She's got a husband and wife, a husband, kids, and dog running around. And she's all sad, and everybody's all sad because she's sad. And she's got this little cloud that sits next to her, a little dark cloud, and it's got one of those unhappy faces, and it follows her everywhere. And, of course, the ad is that if she takes this antidepressant drug is, it's going to make her feel better. So she takes this little antidepressant drug, and pretty soon she's wearing a smile on her face. Now, here's the interesting thing. She goes about, this little cartoon animates itself, and she goes about her days and stuff, and, you know, her family's all happy because mom's happy again. But always in the background is that little black cloud. It actually never, ever, ever leaves the screen, even though she's taking this antidepressant drug. Now, that being said, during the course of this commercial, it also states that it can cause different kinds of serious skin conditions, respiratory attack, liver problems, kidney problems. Death will occur. Suicide can occur. You're taking an antidepressant. And so, yeah, so you have thoughts of suicide. So tell me how that works. And so, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So, you know, it's just filled with all kinds of stuff. And you have to look at it and you go, yeah, well, you know, where do I sign up for this drug that's going to put maybe a smile on my face if it doesn't, you know, collapse my liver, my kidney, my lungs? You know, and I don't keel over dead or try to go in and kill myself from taking this antidepressant drug. Yeah, where do I sign up for it?
Yeah. Honestly, it's like you accidentally prick your finger with a pin and some blood comes out. So in order to cure yourself, you throw yourself in an Iron Maiden and skewer yourself with giant spears. You know?
Yeah. Seriously. So, you know, and so we were talking about cancer. You and I were off the air. And you know, the point is that in the medical field, when I worked in the medical field, I worked in the last 7 years, I worked in the home health care field. That's people that aren't sick enough to be in the hospital, but they're not well enough to be without some kind of care. They're on some kind of medications. We had people that had rheumatoid arthritis, and they were taking these drugs for rheumatoid arthritis. But I'm going to tell you, out of all of the patients that we had, 70% of the patients were on antibiotics because they would catch these terrible, terrible, terrible infections in the hospital during a minor or major surgery, and that's what almost killed them. And so they would keep them on these antibiotic drips for 6 to 8 months at a time because they could not get their wounds to heal. They could not get the infections to leave them at the site of wherever the minor and or major surgery occurred. So most of the infections actually occurred in the hospital. We also had a lot of people that were on chemotherapy drugs, and there were different kinds. There was these liquid stuff that some people would just inject into their veins. There was some that they had to take orally. There was all different kinds. So, you know, all these people are guinea pigs. And without fail, every one of the cancer patients that we had, none of them survived the treatment. None of them. Not one of them survived the treatment. We lost every patient that I was aware of.
Their quality of life,
if you had to put quality of life from 1 as being the worst and 10 being the best, their quality of life was a 1.
Far out.
Yeah, it was the absolute most awful thing I'd ever witnessed in my life.
That's what the medical industry really is. It's kind of like a covert soft kill bioweapons research lab, so to speak, where the people who come in with these engineered viruses, whether that be cancer or AIDS or Hep C or whatever, or severe reactions to vaccines. Again, it goes back to that whole problem reaction solution thing. You know, the medical industry causes the cancer, and then when you come in and ask the people who cause your disease to cure it, they then give you drugs that'll kill you. Okay?
Yep.
That's
yep.
basically it. They just want to kill you in varying stages so that they can milk as much effing money out of you as humanly possible before you leave a dry, wrinkled up, prune-like corpse.
Yeah, it's
insidious.
It is against humanity, And until people wake up and until people say, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that anymore, and they absolutely refuse to do that, to go that route and to find what really works, only then will it really begin to change. When people start saying, no, not doing that, you're not giving me that stuff, that's poison. Because it is, it's poison. It's radiation, hello? Anybody done any study on radiation? Chemotherapy, radiation? You have to look at what it is that they're doing to the body. You really, really do. And now they get where, now what they've done is they've also produced a new drug. It's not so new anymore, but a drug that now prepares your body for the chemotherapy, by the way. So now you're on a pre-chemo regime of drugs before you actually get the chemotherapy. So your body will have a higher tolerance and a better quote-unquote outcome for when they do the chemotherapy.
And I love it how they do the whole mainstream media trick. Instead of calling it the administration of drugs, they call it the regime of drugs. Kind of like every dictator that the U.S. doesn't like gets called a regime, and every dictator that they love gets called an administration. Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Oh, don't we? Don't we? We do. We do. We do. And I'm going to tell you, that unless people really stop and get off that roller coaster, and I'm not talking about just the pharmaceuticals. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about all of it. Until they quit engaging in, especially emotionally engaging in the news, in the propaganda, until they quit engaging in it is only when it's really going to change. I will tell you, though, Vinny, I'm sure that you've had a lot of people on the show that have told you there are a lot of people that are really waking up, because otherwise your show, my show, and many shows similar to ours would not be going on if people really did believe everything that came from mainstream media. You and I wouldn't be viable for you or I to be doing, to be interviewing people, to be talking with people.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I just recently got some comments on YouTube saying that nobody agrees with your point of view, and we'll exterminate you if you ever try to put your crap on us, et cetera, et cetera. And then I have a look at how many subscriptions I have, and I've got more subscriptions than New Zealand's mainstream music channels, New Zealand's mainstream political parties, and New Zealand's mainstream news channels in some cases. Okay?
Well, so, there it is in all of its glory, Vinny. There it is in all of its glory. There are those that are very upset because they don't want the truth. They like being spoon-fed. They absolutely abhor an idea that may conflict with all of the programming that they have sucked in, believe. And that intimidation, and trust me, I get it as well. I get emails, I get stuff all the time about some of the people I have on my show, some of the topics. I get it as well. And it's like, you know, it is what it is. And when they feel threatened is when they start threatening you.
Yeah. I haven't so far experienced a heck of a lot of threats. I mean, I've had a couple, but
you know, like that one you was just telling me, intimidation. It's intimidation. Mm. It's meant to put you in fear. Like, oh my God, I better run for the hills and turn off my show now.
Have you noticed that some people actually fall into that intimidation? And it's like, from a psyops and a military tactics point of view, you instantly see what's going on behind these people's motivations. You instantly see that they're trying to discourage you, to stop you from doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is safe, effective, and dangerous to them. You know,
right.
That's their real problem. I mean, if
to
you were
their
doing
way of life. To their yeah. way of life, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if you were doing something to discredit your own way of life or to damage or whatever, hey, they would be in full support of your video. You know, for example, if I started making demonizing videos about how dumb and crazy and how much of a lack of evidence all these conspiracy theorists who think that the government is just this one big rugby team that just keeps passing the ball to one person or the other, and they still wind up scoring tries against your goalpost. And of course you'd have to use a sports metaphor because they don't understand anything else.
Oh, I've talked to people like that as well. What a challenge that is.
I mean, these people, I mean, they're the perfect candidates for mama jokes. You know, your mama's so dumb, she took a spoon to the Super Bowl. And,
oh, my gosh. Oh, right on, right on. Yeah, the dumb mama jokes, yeah. Well,
they're not as funny as the ugly mama jokes. Like, your mama's your mama's so ugly, they filmed gorillas in the mist in her shower.
Yeah. You're so ugly. Your mama's so ugly, she had to sneak up on a glass to get a drink of water, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've heard them. Well, let's speak of water. Let's speak of water for a minute. You know, that's the other thing you and I were talking about off the air during the commercial break, too, was, well, actually, it started with because I had been talking about the high fructose corn syrup, and now they call it corn sugar here in the United States, and being added to the Coke product. And one of the things that I was not aware of is what you was telling me about, is that Coke syrup, the way it's manufactured now, is shipped as a hazardous material, hazmat for short, for people that don't know that terminology. And I was unaware that it was considered hazardous material, that you said that the fumes are so toxic that it can kill you in Coca-Cola. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, really? Absolutely. I mean, every South American drug dealer knows that you can overdose on Coke. But,
well, true that.
but you know, the fact of the matter is it's a corrosive poison. You can put a T-bone steak into it, and it'll dissolve it overnight. And breaking news here, ladies and gentlemen, there has been another big earthquake in Japan, a 6.7 magnitude, and they have issued another tsunami alert. And that's all the information we have at the moment. I'm being fed that by Karen Quinn Tostado from UnitedWeStrike.com. She's just messaging me through the moment. So yet again, everybody, pray for the people of Japan. Pray that they're going to, I don't know, adapt somehow and become superhuman nuclear walking.
Wow. Does it say, do you know where this happened? Where the earthquake hit? Do you know that yet, Vinny?
No information about that as yet. But you know, hopefully we'll have some more information coming through as the show progresses. This is breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for the lack of information, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you got to really look out for these things. And I would be pretty concerned, of course. This is from the United States Geological Survey that put out this report a few minutes ago. And oh, it's just freaky, man, this whole Japanese situation.
It is.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll try and make a little bit of a lighter side of genocide with this one, but perhaps it might be inappropriate. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no.
I want to know.
There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that?
Whose side are you on? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz in mind. And we have a 54-second little video here that I want to play for y'all now to see if we can get a little bit of a background on this particular incident in Fukushima that is now breaking news. So if you're just giving me 2 seconds here, I'll just run this clip for you.
Of an earthquake off the coast of Japan, magnitude 6.7. That's preliminary. The number often changes. There has been a tsunami advisory that's been issued. We're told that the earthquake 12 miles deep, about 67 miles off the coast of Japan, about 108 kilometers or so. So we're watching this closely. 20 kilometers deep, that's 12 miles, and about 108 kilometers off the coast, 67 miles. 6.7 magnitude tsunami advisory. We're getting more information. We'll let you know. Hopefully it's not serious, but we'll watch it and we'll update you as we get more information. In the meantime, let's check in with Jack Cafferty. He's here with the Cafferty File. Jack.
That's what those folks need, yeah. Huh?
Okay, and Dan, I unfortunately wasn't able to hear that. Hopefully you all did. Rebecca, did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah,
okay. Talking about the, it was 12 miles deep, and it was 6.7. They said, obviously, that those numbers can change as more data comes in. I think they said it was 100 miles. But they didn't give specifics as to exactly where it was located, off of what city or what have you. They said it was about 100 miles off the coast, or inland, I think, is what they said.
Well, you know how Japan has kind of like the three main islands and the big main island. It's basically right up near the top of the big main island, right near where it splits off to the third one up the top, off the coast near Honshu, Japan, Honshu. That was where the epicenter was, about 100 kilometers offshore.
Okay.
So if a tsunami's been triggered, it'll be coming in, and it'll be there pretty soon, I would say. And the last time we had a magnitude 6.7 was here in Christchurch. It was a very shallow quake. It wasn't as deep as this one. That was at 12 kilometers. We had a 5 kilometer deep shake, and it was immensely more violent than. A 7.4 quake at 10 kilometers. So hopefully this one will be not quite as strong. And but, you know, the problem is when we think about these earthquake scenarios, they all pale in comparison to the nuclear crisis of Fukushima.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like, okay, oh, no, 20, 30,000 people died in Japan from the tsunami. Absolutely terrible, horrible. Nothing like the billion-odd people that are going to die of cancer within the next couple of years, by my next 10 years or so, by my reckoning, from this Gulf of Fukushima-type end-of-the-world explosion, triple China syndrome with cheese-type scenario, you know? When I saw that, when I started to get the real facts on that Fukushima nuclear crisis, I was just basically, we're all dead.
Well, here's something that you may not know, because they've actually had a blackout here in the United States over this. It's been leaked. Obviously, you can't confirm it at this point, but we had floodwaters that came up into the state of Nebraska here in the United States. The Mississippi is flooding. You know, we've had a lot of flooding through the central part of the United States. And it flooded a town where there was a nuclear reactor, and it obviously caused level four or whatever. So we are having a nuclear reactor issues here in the United States that they're not even telling the people about. There is a news blackout over it. Obama himself said out and said that it was not to be told to the American peoples that there was a nuclear reactor issue here in the United States.
Yeah,
this just been within the last week.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and official reports say the reactor's on an island surrounded by water, and it's fine. But of course, there's other elements as well. Apparently, I forget, man, it was a while back, but somebody was dumping nuclear reactor water into the Great Lakes or something like that, and the radiation levels were starting to spike, and now this huge flood in the Mississippi Delta has started, and it dovetails with a disaster drill that was being conducted not too long ago. I think it was at the middle of last month, the New Madrid Fault Line disaster drill, where they were preparing for an earthquake or some kind of disaster, big floods or whatever. And sure enough, here come the big floods, and the big disaster. And, you know, it this speaks to me that I think that the New Madrid fault line, and this has been broken a lot towards the more courageous talk radio shows, that the New Madrid fault line is basically going to flood entirely, and it's going to be about like 200 miles wide by the end of it, and the Great Lakes are going to be emptied. Basically, there's going to be two halves of the United States now cut right down the middle from the tip of the Great Lakes down to the Gulf of Mexico. And that's going to be the future of America, apparently, a place where, easily 60, 70 million people live in the path of this or so, to my reckoning. And I'm not sure on the stats on that, but, you know, there we go. We'll have to move. You know, and they said that if there was a big earthquake in that area, that close to 40 million people would instantly be killed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you know, that comes with the, what do they call, the futurist Michael Scallion, I think was one of them, that was one of the first people that went out and put up the I Am America map, and it showed the United States as being two halves. And the New Madrid, now here's the interesting thing, is in the state of Arkansas, they have had this little town, and I can't remember the name of the town. I think it's called Guy, Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. They've been, all the residents there, and you got to remember, there's only a few thousand people living in this particular little town. They have been making reports about feeling like there's been an earthquake. I mean, it's like a daily occurrence, these little earthquakes. And, of course, all the governing bodies are saying, oh, no, there's not earthquakes. And what I got from that was that these were man-made disturbances, and it was set off to create some kind of a reaction. Now, whatever that reaction is, it could be said that it was part of this whole New Madrid thing, that they're wanting to bring this thing forward. Because some of these prophecies, if you will, or some of these things that have come forward, they want these things to be fulfilled. They want these disasters and these things that have been predicted to happen. So,
with HAARP and all of these other classified technologies, they surely have the means to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely they do. Absolutely. And here we are, none the wiser. You know, and I don't know if you ever watched the Jesse Ventura show. He went and tried to investigate the HAARP facility. And, of course, that didn't go very well at all. But my understanding is that this HAARP technology obviously has been honed through the years. It's been really, really sophisticated. They've expanded it. The facilities that they filmed up there would put any kind of a research or government facility, you know, to shame as far as its structure and you know, how modern it is and how large it is and what means it has. And, of course, it's tucked away in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, you hear a lot, Vinny, people talking about, you know, that there isn't any land left. Well, there is a ton of land left. There's a whole bunch of land that's left. And some of that land is very obscure. You can't see it. Most people don't want to live there because it's very rough terrain, and there aren't a lot of people. It's not inhabited. So, you know, the governments go in, they purchase up this land, they build their facilities. You know, nobody can see them, so they're kind of tucked away in this anonymity, sitting up there in this obscure little place doing their, you know, I call it the mad scientist. That's my thing. You know, we've got a million mad scientists running around. everyone trying to outdo each other. The technologies that are made available is just absolutely phenomenal. It would make a sci-fi movie pale in comparison to what's actually being used, seriously.
Well, my take is that the Hollywood gets their kicks from the military-industrial complex and who tell them what to put in their sci-fi movies. But, you know, because there's not that many creative people in Hollywood left, to my knowledge, and they have to steal each other's ideas in order to keep that big Hollywood brainwashing machine running.
Yeah, and there's truth in that, though. There's truth in these little sci-fi things.
Oh, there is. And they put it on the movies to make you think that anybody who starts talking about the real truth, you go, oh, you've been watching too many movies, isn't that
too many
brilliant?
Sci-fi, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You just got your imagination running away with you, you know. The world's not complex and sophisticated. There's no such thing as a government that keeps classified weapons technology from the public. You're just silly.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Rebecca Jernigan. And we'll be back very soon with hour number two. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there, and I'd like to thank all the guys that are in there shredding us articles. For example, speaking of massive tsunamis, illegal immigration in the United States. Our Lord and Savior, Barack H. O'Berry, in all his frickin' wisdom, has just signed a new thing called the Dream Act. Oh, doesn't that sound nice, Bex?
Oh, it does. It sounds sweet. It sounds really sweet. Makes people think, oh, what a sweet thing.
Yeah.
The Dream Act.
And incidentally, for a globalist, this is a real dream come true.
True that.
I want to read this article in here. It's from TheExaminer.com. On Friday, the O'Berry administration issued a memo announcing that federal immigration officials do not have to deport illegal aliens if they are enrolled in any type of education program or if their family members have volunteered for U.S. military service or even if they are pregnant or nursing. So let me get this straight. Illegal immigrants who aren't paying taxes, who are getting a public education on the taxpayers' back and having babies and bringing even more illegal children into the country, so what they call anchor babies, so that when the child gets born in the United States, they get citizenship by default because they're born there, and then that allows their parents to stay on to keep bleeding the state dry. And if you have illegal foreign aliens in the military who swear an oath to defend the Constitution, which they know nothing about because they don't come from a country with a Constitution, they're all good. They get an A-class pass. That is a true dream act, ladies and gentlemen, because you'd have to be asleep to believe that it might do any good for the people of the United States or the immigrants themselves. You know? let's have a look at what happens here when you bring large amounts of immigrants into a society. Well, first thing that happens is the value of wages goes down. Because the economic situations are different in Mexico to the United States and the amount of money that you would need to live off in both of those countries is severely different, it winds up meaning that Mexican immigrants will take less money for jobs. And it doesn't mean that they're going to, you know, take all the jobs that the Americans don't want to do. They're just going to take all, they're just going to make all the jobs that the Americans currently have pay less and have less benefits so that they become more like Mexican workers with less pay, less rights, and more easily expendable. That's what it is. When you bring somebody into your society that is used to being treated a different way, you'll find out very, very soon that employers will take advantage of that way that they allow to be treated. And if you, as a person who believes in a constitution of individual rights and liberties and having the value of your labor recognized through appropriate pay, wages, and treatment, sorry, mate, you're not going to get that job. And that's why everybody gets real freaked out about, oh, the Mexicans stealing the jobs. Technically, no, they're not. The globalists are stealing your jobs. They're the ones that get Barack H. O'Barry, our Lord and Savior, change you can beg for in the street, to pass this kind of legislation. Right? Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, would I blame a racial group for a problem that the globalists have caused. And mind you, virtually every single racial group that's been discriminated against in this current way and date and time has been set up by globalists in the first place anyway. Just like how the FBI helped to set up the KKK and have been running all these militias and stuff in Michigan and whatever. Basically, if there's a terrorist group out there, a subversive group, or some other description of organization that winds up destroying a country's sovereignty, undermining the security of its people, or driving down its wages, you can be guaranteed that they are the hallmark signature points of a globalist plot.
Hmm. Very well said. I couldn't have said it better. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. You know, and the way that the countries are set up when you talk about bringing in aliens, illegal aliens. I love that term, by the way. That just sounds like, okay, we're bringing in aliens, so they, you know, they're not human beings. They're
take us to Secretary Clinton.
Yeah, there you go. You know, when you set up a country so that it becomes the way that it is, and then you start introducing other people, and first you put the laws in there saying they're not supposed to be there, and then you allow them to integrate into the society, and there is no balance here, and people really need to understand that there is no balance here, and that is the point. The point is it, and I'm talking specifically now about the United States and Canada and Mexico. We've all heard about the North American Union, and information is that they want it to all become basically under one guy, so that then the next step obviously is to integrate it with the rest of the world, et cetera, and so forth. We all know that. If you bring in the those that live in Mexico and you allow them to come into the United States, and they continue to grow into the United States, then eventually it breaks down the way that the country itself was put together. Now, interestingly enough, if I want to go to Canada, and it didn't used to be this way. I lived in Michigan, and we used to be able to go to Canada freely. You just go to Canada from Michigan. You can get there from all over the state into Canada. Now you have to have a passport. The American people have to have a passport to go to Canada. We also have to have a passport to go into Mexico. So I find that rather fascinating how the American people are being I guess controlled in that sense of we can't go anywhere else, but other people can come in here. So I find that whole thing really, really fascinating.
Are you talking about the Military Commissions Act, where you cannot leave the United States if you are top heavy on a mortgage?
Wow. Now that's new to me, Vinny.
That's something my producer found out when he tried to leave. He's been in New Zealand for like 4 or 5 years now. But yeah, they were top heavy on their mortgage, and they were told by the government that they couldn't leave until they had cleared all their debts and everything. And debt is how they get you. Essentially, what we're talking about here is a situation that's being set up based upon the sole premise of debt. First, you got the Federal Reserve Act, was that 1913 or 14? I think it was 13. And then, of course, you've got the IRS. Now, IRS tax you in an unconstitutional fashion. It's not an apportion tax, so therefore it's illegal. But, of course, they just do it anyway because they've got guns. Have you noticed how the IRS agents are some of the most well-armed ones?
Yeah, I have, actually.
You know, what are they going to do? They're in such danger because obviously these people who are dodging their taxes are going to, like, I don't know, they're going to pull revolvers out of their cash registers in this in their small, rural, sleepy restaurants, you know, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. Right. Now, more like the fact that you're going to wind up pulling your gun on somebody who doesn't even know that they've supposedly been dodging a tax out of the 7,000 odd taxes in the United States, which virtually no citizen knows about, and everything. Because it's like some people ask the question, well, why would they just tax us in so many ways? Wouldn't it be simpler to just have one easy overall tax? And say, yeah, it would be. But then it would be also much easier to recognize that you're a slave. Because if you've got a straight 80% apportioned tax taken off of your income and you've got 20% left over to pay for the bare necessities of life, hey, you realize this is not a good system whatsoever. I'm busting my hide really hard, so and I can't get ahead, but the only upside to it is if I get into trouble or something like that, I'll just have to pay more. That's the problem. Okay, and it's all enforced through the very, very nice menial means of men with guns, jackbooted thugs, and whatnot. There we have it. That's how you know that you're living in a tyranny. Does your government have jackbooted thugs pulling women and children and old ladies and whatnot out of their homes by their hair, pointing guns at them and telling them, don't assault me or I will shoot you? And in the case of New Zealand, Australia, the UK, that kind of stuff does happen, but it's not the majority commonplace nomenclature at the time. But it's coming. There have even been entire student block parties in the US where massive amounts of riot police. These people are just having parties, okay? You know, like they're sitting on their porch, having a brewski, and listening to some music with a dozen other houses that are doing the same thing. And a riot squad shows up and arrests people on their own front porches, tackles them, and pepper sprays them. This is the new world that you're being trained to condition, trained into accepting. You know, it's just a little bit of psychological conditioning, ladies and gentlemen. All you need to do in order to accept tyranny is have tyranny in your face all day, every day, until you get so depressed and apathetic that you choose not to do anything about it. And you say, oh, well, you know, what can one man do? Well, imagine if Gandhi or any number of historical figures, Alexander the Great or whatever, had decided, oh, one man can't do anything. I can assure you, one man can be the difference between a world led in darkness or a world living in light. I Shiite Muslim you not. That's the reality. Are you that person? I ask myself constantly every day, how much importance does my life actually have? Because after all, there's billions of other people on this planet. What makes me so frickin' special? And I realize, hey, I know what makes me special because I'm special. It's real nice circular logic and it applies to everybody. You're very important and you're very special. Doesn't matter who you are, what you say, what country you come from, language you speak, color of your eyes, the sharpness of your teeth. Doesn't matter. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You can stop all this crap from happening if you want to. You can be the most powerful and most influential person in your community. And you can tell them that they are under attack. You can tell them that if they stand up right now, they can make a difference. And I suppose that that becomes really difficult, though, don't you think, Rebecca, that when you try to tell people to repeat things that you're telling them, don't you then become the tyrant? Don't you then become the propagandist? It's a real teeter-totter, you know. It's what you mentioned David Icke before, and he talks about the totalitarian tiptoe.
Right.
That's what I really love about the idea of the New World Order is they've actually pioneered a lot of instruments and tools of warfare, both biological, economical, psychological warfare. And if you study these techniques, you can then use those techniques yourself, and you can use it right back against them. For example, corporate takeovers. It'd be very, very interesting to see if a whole bunch of alternative health media companies, alternative health companies, got together and say bought out GlaxoSmithKline and shut them down to wipe out their competition. What if they all got together and started lobbying the government behind closed doors and told them that we don't want any people to be given vaccines anymore, and they have to boycott all advertising of these vaccine schedules, and then lo and behold, you find out that the rate of chronic illnesses and diseases in your country dropped to virtually nil, like what happened just before vaccines produced to help save people from all these terrible viruses that had already been wiped out.
Right. Exactly. All of what you're saying is right on. There's no disagreement with me on any of that, seriously. And it doesn't take that many people to stand up and do that. And they did systematically, if each person, you know, if you get a few people from each community or little city or whatever they live in, and you start doing that across the board, there you go. You know, because you're really a big into the news and media and all that, Vinny, just think about what would happen if you had just one television station that had the real news on it. The truth news, real news, and it was mainstream.
Well, here we have it. We now have the ability to do this, and I keep getting asked, and the conversation keeps coming up for some reason, that I need to be doing a 30-minute a night live television newscast on mainstream television. Okay, and the way I figured it wouldn't be that difficult, because most of what Truth or News is about is simply covering what the mainstream's saying and pointing out the things that they're missing out. You know, that's all you need to do. Because you know how they start with the morning news and it's the exact same news by the time it gets to the evening?
Right, it is. It's just a regurgitation.
So what we can do is wake up in the morning, watch the news, and then I've got contacts and patriots all over the place. Just give them a call on Skype, record the conversation, and quickly edit together a little 30-minute news bite for that night.
Why not? I like the idea.
See, it can be done. And it can be done with a home computer with minimal effort, so long as you have enough volunteers to soak up the workload so that it becomes a relatively small job for everybody combined with a huge amount of impact. And that's what the whole idea of compartmentalization is, and that's why the New World Order works so well. So let's use that weapon against them too.
It works for me.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, it works for them, therefore it works for us as well by default, because it wouldn't work for them if the logic wasn't sound behind their schemes, you know? And it doesn't mean that their schemes are nice or good or anything. It means that they need to be wiped out, and what better scheme to wipe it out than the scheme itself? You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Do, 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 do. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Show that's all about being musical and giving some praise to the New World Order techniques that have enslaved us all so freaking fabulously. I can't. Oh man, I get so angry sometimes. Hey, do you ever get like that? I don't know if you do, Rebecca, but I certainly do. I feel as if there's like this this New World Order rage monkey on my shoulder. You know how when somebody has like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other? Well, for me, there's only two devils on each shoulder, and they're both wearing Bohemian Grove rags.
Well, you know, I can't say that I get angry like that. What I do is I try to implement in my own personal life and with everyone that I meet and everyone that I engage in communication and, you know, as part of my, you know, everyday world and then some. I try to engage in not buying into what they want you to do. You know, anger is a good thing. It really is a good thing as long as it's focused in the right right manner and the intention behind the anger. Sometimes anger can be a great motivator. The injustices to humanity, to all of humanity, I'm not talking about the peoples of the United States or Mexico or Canada or UK or New Zealand or wherever. I'm talking about everywhere on this planet, have been enslaved in some way or another, with the exception of very few. There's very few indigenous people that are still living on this planet that have never engaged in the way of life that most everyone else has. They have simply kept to themselves. They live their life in a way different manner than what you and I would be used to or would even, you know, conceptually maybe even understand. And they've lived like that for generations and generations. You know, when they were plowing down part of the rainforest, they found some indigenous tribes. There was airplanes going over, and here's these people, these men that were all painted up in their, you know, war paint, literally, and shooting arrows at the plane going by because they felt threatened by the presence of them. And, you know, you have to look at those peoples. I'm sure at some point they wanted to, you know, modernize them and, you know, make them like them. And that is the point. The point is that, you know, we don't, many of us do not allow others to live their life the way that they want. Instead, what they try to do is they try to change to fit with what you think life should be like, not what they are like. I mean, it's happened for millennia over and over and over and over again. It's a repetitive cycle. And, you know,
It reminds me of the movies. Almost every single movie follows the exact same storyline.
It does, and it varies slightly, so you think you're getting something new and fresh. You know, they change the verbiage. They change the visuals. They change some of the communication, the conversation that goes on. You know, obviously they change the players, but it's very much very similar from one after the other after the other. I agree with that.
It means that no story comes out of there that really teaches you something. I find the best movies are the ones that you don't see coming.
Yeah, I love those. Absolutely love those. Those are the ones that when it ends, you kind of go, wow, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, that was very different.
The ones that kind of change your life and whatnot. And I find a lot of documentaries are like that, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. You know, I want to... If you don't mind, Vinny, I'd like to talk just a little bit about this whole mind control thing that we've all been under. My guides call this thing, instead of calling it the Matrix, they have called it the construct, which is the programming that we've all been under. And this programming is meant to elicit different reactions from people. It's like there's certain segments that are targeted for different things. I mean, you know, when we get back into the whole technology thing, I mean, we've been coerced, shoved, and pushed and molded for millennia. And the reason why many of us are here, the job that you're doing, which is to enlighten people, to awake people, to share what's really not truth in the news, the thing that everyone has come to accept. That's what you're here. So somewhere you've agreed that this is part of your mission, I guess, so to speak, to change this cycle that has been prevalent on this planet for eons of time.
Well, and you know why? And it's purely for selfish purposes, I can assure you. It's because every single job that I've ever had, I've been lied to, ripped off, screwed over. Every flatmate and place that I've ever lived in has been substandard, rickety, crap, betrayful, and unresponsive to my complaints. Okay? And I realized earlier on that that was not isolated to how people live their lives. It extends off to how their lives are actually run. With that type of experience that I had, I realized was actually everybody's experience, but everybody's in denial about it. And I couldn't work anymore. I literally couldn't. I had panic attacks when I went to job interviews. That was how much the system had bucked me. And I literally could not live in it anymore because it freaked me out so much because I knew that at any moment I was going to get screwed over, ripped off, or taken out again. At least when I'm out here in the public eye, if I get screwed over, ripped off, or whatever, everybody will say, New World Order agenda, and it'll underline everything that I've said the whole time.
Well, I find that really fascinating because you can take that scenario and you can apply it to many, many different circumstances. And I have to agree with you. Most of us that are out here doing different kinds of media work, having different presentations, we've all, through the years, have recognized that the system, so to speak, the New World Order agenda, the programming, so to speak, doesn't work on us. And that's the reason why you had panic attacks. It was your body, your higher self, your sense of who you are, whether you recognize it or not at the moment, is telling you, hey, this shoe doesn't fit. There's something irrevocably wrong with this. So much that the core of your being decided it was going to get physical with you and say, go ahead, try to go on that interview and see what happens. And you find yourself in a state of panic.
Well,
yes.
It's very much like the mechanisms by which our society rules itself are entirely similar to the practice of a virus. And when I was having those panic attacks, it was basically my immune system reacting to that virus of work. You know,
pretty much.
And I do far more work now, unpaid, than I ever did when I was making a lot of money. All right, seriously. And there's a reason for that is because I know that every single day when I work, I accomplish something. I create a radio show that is archived, that lasts forever, that can be a source of knowledge and inspiration to people, okay? Far better than what I previously had been doing, which was giving people toxic cell phones that are going to give them brain cancer in the next 10, 15 years.
Right.
Okay, that's how I justify it.
and justification isn't needed. It's just an understanding that it doesn't work. The very things that we interact with, they do not work. And so you recognize it. There are many other people that are beginning to recognize it. They're having very real physical symptoms to whatever their particular situation is, right?
My auntie once told me that she didn't support my quote-unquote anti-establishment views. And I found that really offensive because I'm actually very pro-establishment. I'm just not naive enough to think that we currently have one.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. And again, it's because people don't like rocking the boat because their life works for them. And there are going to be people when all of this is said and done, whenever that may happen, Vinny, that are still going to be part of that matrix, that construct, that programming, because it's safe for them. They understand it. They know how to operate in it. They are the ones that have decided that they don't want to do anything different. And if it works for them, that's fine. Just don't interject it into my space, and I won't interject my stuff into your space. But this programming stuff, it goes very, very deep. And with this programming stuff, it elicits different reactions from people. One of them is guilt. I had a guy talk to me about this today, about feeling guilty about everything. Guilt is a program. because what it does is it keeps you in the space of being in the past, not being in the present, but it being in the past. You can't change what you have done, said, or been. You can, in the moment, however, decide that that no longer serves you and go forward from there. So guilt is a programming, just like feeling shame or feeling any of those things that would keep a person back from being in the moment. And in that moment, just like we're in this moment right now, we're expressing ourselves in the moment. That's it. No regrets. We simply speak from our heart. We speak what we know. We speak from our heart. Therefore, it becomes truth to us. It's our truth. Yes?
But then again, it happens to a lot of people who believe in something that's incorrect. And that's the problem, is that it's a belief system, a paradigm that we've created that exists parallel to the current paradigm. You know what I'm saying? It's like we've put
there
on the sun. Well, it's like we've put on the sunglasses that they put on in that movie They Live, and we now see all the propaganda, and we see all the monsters, and we see the stark tyranny for what it is. And
right.
Meanwhile, everybody else just sees color and beauty and magnificence. And
right.
The problem is, it's just like The Matrix. The Matrix is a really nice, beautiful dream world. It's the peak of human civilization, when the reality is we're jump forward. It's a dark future. Everybody lives in a freaking hole. It's cold, and nobody's got any rights or liberties because they're under attack all the time. Okay, and that's the reality that we have now. I'm sorry to say, metaphorically speaking.
Well, and so here's my viewpoint on that. I can agree with you to a point with that, but I do believe that there are choices, in that we, if you believe in parallel, you also have to believe in the multidimensionality of it, or the multiple options that aren't yet seen. I mean, if we just now begin, as you say, put on the glasses and being able to see the propaganda, then there's other things that we've yet to discover that we haven't seen yet, because we haven't arrived there yet. So in my opinion, I don't see this as set in stone. I am not one of those people that say, hey, we're living in that cold, dark world. And trust me, this is getting to be a very dark world. But there are other timelines out there. There are other ways. There are other places, so to speak, that one can go. And together we can change this particular timeline, so to speak. And we do that today by bringing forth the information and allowing people, just presenting the information. People will wake up. We can't sell them short. We cannot sell them short.
I heard that time itself is simultaneous. So what happens is, as soon as you do something, it does affect everything in a very small knock-on effect way. Kind of like physics, how if there's an action, there has to be a reaction, etc. That means that if you do nothing with your day, nothing will happen. Okay, and
nothing changes. Right, nothing changes.
But if you run out there and you see, for example, police assaulting somebody, unprovoked, and you capture that on a handy cam, you run home, you quickly download it and upload it to YouTube, within 15 minutes, you've created an effect on a global stage, okay? Happens all the time, all right? There was an incident outside a G20 protest in the UK, how some guy was walking home from work, and this cop lunges at him viciously from behind, cracks him over the head with a baton, and the guy dies moments later. Right? That person with the video camera, because if they had just decided that they would just sit at home on the couch that day, there wouldn't have been as great an illustration of just how hungry the police have become for the blood of the innocent.
And you think that isn't part of that programming? Programming in its ultimate form.
Well, it's observing reality,
reality. But how many of us didn't observe that reality?
Well, quite a lot of us. Most of us.
Yeah, I mean, we could get into a really strange discussion here, but I don't think that's where we really want to go with this. But I kind of do
actually.
Well,
strange discussions are my forte.
Well, there you go. Well, here's we seen that video, because that video was placed up, and it was on YouTube or wherever it was at, and I happened to click through and I seen that video. But what if I didn't see that video? It never enters my reality. You see?
Yeah.
Okay. So what one person witnesses is their reality. If another person does not witness it, it is not their reality.
Well, perhaps we just need to show people more reality instead of them watching the mainstream news, which broadcasts a false reality.
That's exactly right. That I agree with. I agree with that 110%, because that's what has to happen. Because I didn't click through and see that video. I've seen other videos. They weren't exactly identical, but they were just as horrific, insidious, and hateful. The words, I could have 100 million explicatives that would put that into perspective, but I think everyone understands that it's beyond comprehension that somebody would feel that was okay, whether you're a cop or not, to do something like that just because he was having a bad hair day. How dare you?
That's another
human being. Hello.
And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. My special guest is Rebecca Jernigan.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody
Oh yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Give us a call right now, ladies and gentlemen. The phone lines are open in the final segment here if you want to get on the air with me and Rebecca Jernigan. The number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-AFR-2525 is the number to call in. And you've got to do so right now. Now, speaking of listeners and whatnot, we've had many contributions through the chat room today. And what we were talking about here is, you know, how the system kind of discriminates against you and whatnot. And one of our listeners here, Ben, he was talking about how he got kicked out of a whole bunch of churches for asking questions, and and he saw a UFO when he was young and all of that kind of stuff. And it speaks to me that your experiences really do shape the individual who you become. And that's why I'm really concerned about this current generation, because they're all wrapped in plastic and foam and rubber to keep them safe and whatever. They're not allowed to climb trees. They're basically not allowed to have any experiences, so they never figure out who they are. They wind up going to university, learning stuff that they're not even interested in, getting a massive debt for the rest of their life, and then either getting SWAT teamed or drafted into the military at a later date.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
For not paying their college debt. You know, and it's like the whole system is like it's like a deadfall. You know what a deadfall is? It's a giant pit, well, that you use it as a bear trap. All right, seriously. It's like there's a big red X painted in the middle of a field, and there's a little sign that says gold here. And right underneath the X, there's just this massive pit with a whole bunch of spikes. And all these foolish people come along and go, oh, free gold, nice. Oh, look, there's some shovels conveniently there as well. Ah! Skewered. You know, that's what the whole system is, really. It's just one big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow frickin' myth that's been perpetuated so that people are real happy to be slaves for their entire frickin' existence with no money.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. People work all their lives, and I've seen this time and time again. People work all their lives. They're very diligent. They're very loyal, as it were, to their employer. They work for the same employer for 30, 35 years, whatever it is. They retire. Within a year of a retirement, they die. And they do that because that was their life. And when that life ceases to exist for them, they don't know what else to do because they're good little soldiers. They're good little programmed. You know, and I wanted to address, I guess his name is Ben in the chat box, and about the whole being kicked out of church. And I, because he hasn't listened to my show, so those that have listened to my show, this will be redundant for them, so I apologize in advance. But when I was, I don't know, about 8 years old, I was sent to Sunday school. We went to church, but I was sent to Sunday school. So the Sunday school teacher is talking, teaching us about God and, you know, Jesus and all of that. And one of the things that the Sunday school's teacher said was that if you don't obey the laws of God or the laws of this church, you know, this vengeful, wrathful God is going to take punishment on you. And so, you know, I raised my hand and, you know, she called on me and I said, well, I thought God was a loving God. Well, she didn't say anything about that. She just told me to put my hand down and she went on. And then she starts talking about the term sin. You're born a sinner and you die a sinner. So, you know, here I am, 8 years old. I'm questioning. I'm by the way, I'm very appreciative of it, although it caused me a lot of challenges in life. I certainly appreciate my particular makeup, as it were, so that I could question these things. So I raised my hand again, and she was a little remiss to call on me, but she did. And I said, so if you're born a sinner and die a sinner, what's the point? And when my mother come to pick me up from school that day, from Sunday school, she told her, don't ever bring her back here again. She's a disruption to my class.
And on that happy, cheery note, we're going to a happy caller now, who's been holding on for about 2.5 minutes. Caller, you're on the air.
My God, you know, 2.5 minutes. Hi, this is Alan Carner here, speaking from Devon in the United Kingdom. Hi there, Vinny. Welcome. I haven't spoken to you before.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm glad to have.
Hello, mate.
Limey bastards on the show. I just.
Sod! Don't call me that. Oh God, Rebecca. Hi, can I say hi to Rebecca? Because
hello.
I'm a real big fan. I heard
hello.
You. Hi there. I've heard you with Kerry Cassidy and all them what are they called? Camelot Project Camelot.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's where I discovered you because I've been with them on the round table and all that for, I don't know, about 4 million years. And, you know, so...
Good answer.
Anyway, I'm a singer-songwriter from Devon.
Nephilim descendant right here. Go ahead.
Sorry?
Nephilim descendant right here. Go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, forget about Michael Tellinger. We go back well before that, you know? Forget all that stuff, right, all these rocks and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they're a bunch of rocks. I mean, give me a break. I mean, we've been around for millions and zillions. Anyway, galactic stuff. But anyway, yeah, I'm actually Skyping with Karen right now because Karen and I have written a song together called War Will Cease. I'm a singer-songwriter. I've got a band called Extraterrestrial UK. I know I'm promoting myself. It sounds like I am. But, you know, but Karen is Skyping me right now, and she can't find the song that I did, another song that I sent her. And we're working together with United We Strike Radio, but she said something about an earthquake or something, right? So I don't know what's going on.
Just went off in Japan.
It's going to become a matter of course. It's like every 5 minutes, oh, another earthquake. 10,000 people died somewhere. Oh, yeah, oh, okay, move on. I mean, it's getting like that, right?
It is. I mean, and that's
crazy.
What I get really concerned about is that when the news reports all this crisis constantly, they lose their effect. Because you get conditioned into accepting them as a reality.
That's
right. It's very apathetic.
I mean, they dumbed us down, and now they're kind of making us kind of completely zombified by,
And
well, speaking of your song, I was wondering, would you mind giving us a verse?
Which one? Which song?
Either.
I've got so many songs. I'm doing. My first album's called Providence, which is coming out this summer. I'm doing two albums back to back, and then we go out live next year. Yeah, we're doing what we call edutainment events, edutainment, and that is like a circus idea. I was on, do you know Brian Gerrish, Vinny? Have you heard of Brian Gerrish and all these people in the UK?
Unfortunately, no, I haven't.
No, okay, never mind. Well, Brian, I went to see him Monday. You know, there's a lot of us over here. We're all switched on and so forth. But I announced back in January that we were going to go out and educate the people, basically. We were going to put on shows where you get bands, you get comedy acts and everything else, and you get, like, education. You get people coming up and speaking. People like Rebecca and, you know, and whoever. And you know, people get and because, you know, that is the tipping point.
Hold on a second. I'll actually have to stop you there. Would you be able to send us your email through the VinnieEastwoodShow.com?
I'll send you my website.
On air, mate, if that's cool.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'm English Riviera Productions.
Just going to go to our last caller now. I'd like to thank you very much for your call, mate.
No problem. And love you, both, right? Rebecca, you're fabulous, man. Your sister, you're great. So I'm really, really pleased to speak to you. I'll send you all my stuff, Vinny, okay?
Thank you.
Love it. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Wow. Cheers.
All right. There he goes. And Robert, you are on the air.
Hello, Vinny. Rebecca. Hi, sweetheart. It's your friend Robert from Awake and Aware.
Hello.
How are you, honey?
I'm hanging in there.
It's so great to hear you. Yeah, great to hear your voice. Wow, great show, Vinny. She always brings up more ideas to the floor. She said, you are fantastic, my dear. That whole thing about the Fort Calhoun, that is a serious, serious situation going on right now. And you're right, the mainstream isn't talking about it. Here's one of the big things about it. That water has flooded into the basements, okay, of that plant. Well, in the basement is where they have the cooling pump units for that power plant. If those cooling pumps have been affected, even though that the plant is shut down and they cannot cool those rods down, because they have to cool those rods down for many, many, many months, the months. If they are not cooling that plant, we could have a Fukushima right in the Midwest. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
It could be a Fuk USA Shima.
Yeah.
You totally got it. But I just wanted to say hi to you, Rebecca. I heard you and I was like, oh, man, I got to call into the show. Vinny, I love your show. I listen to you every day, brother.
Every day? Holy cow.
Every day? Hey, well, you need to start. Oh, I forgot to tell you. You start listening to my show on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah? Well, mate.
Yeah.
I'll come on your show and I'll invite you online.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can.
Rebecca, I like to connect on my show. I co-host on Sunday nights on Oracle with Micah Sky. It's called Esoteric Action Radio. So I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm going to get you guys on the show.
Absolutely. Wow. I'd love it. Just email me, dear. Email me. Let's keep in touch.
I will do that. I will. And then I'll do the same to you. I'll email you.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert.
Fabulous. Oh, love you.
Love you too, bye.
Thanks, man. All right. And there he goes.
Bye.
Robert there. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been one really fabulous show, I must say. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you very much for calling in. And Rebecca, thank you very much for stopping by. And we'll see you again sometime.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Love it. We'll be in touch, Vinny. Seriously, thank you.
Got to get you on again sometime. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.